I believe with everything in my heart, we're in a Kairos moment, and it's a moment of acceleration. It's a moment of destiny. We're born for such a time as this. No other generation has been entrusted with the lockdown, post the lockdown, the political, the wars. He's entrusted this generation to bring light in places of darkness. Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61, arise, so your light has come. The darkness is going to cover the earth, but the light rises upon you. And so I feel like we've been given an incredible privilege and opportunity to bring the kingdom.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in for what's going to be a seriously special conversation today in this week's episode of Live Your Best Life with me, Liz Wright. And my dear friend joining me for today's conversation is a wild woman of God. Her passion for Jesus and for us all to be living literally consumed by his presence as individuals and as families and as communities is seriously contagious. She is a revivalist herself. She carries the fire of God's presence. She's a revival historian. She's an author. And her most recent book, Sustain the Flame, co-authored with Dr. Heidi Baker, is just, it's an experience, really is. And it's going to, I think, impart a hunger and truth and testimony and keys that will enable us all to not just know about revival, but live in it as our normal Christian supernatural experience. It's my joy to welcome into the conversation today with me, Jen Miskoff. Jen, welcome.
Oh, always so fun to spend any time with you in the glory, Liz. Thanks for having me back.
Oh my gosh, it's my joy. I'm excited to see what Holy Spirit's going to do today. Okay, so Jen, when I was reading Sustain the Flame, of course I was wrecked. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. There's a quote. I just wanted to bounce off from this quote. Because I felt the invitation in Jesus' heart for all of us today in your language. I think it's brilliant the way that you articulate in this particular bit of your text about what revival fire actually is. But as I was reading it, I could feel Jesus pulling us all. It's like it's an invitation. So I just thought, let's bounce off there because you guys will love it. And then you'll hear the invitation, I'm sure. So you said, Jen, revival fire is when, defining it, is when we have become revived to Jesus as our first love and are burning to know him more. Ooh, holy. Wow. Those found at the heart of God's radiant presence live fully alive and become catalytic for revival fire to spread through their lives. They live with the flame himself. Ooh. Wow. Can feel it. Can feel the Lord saying, this is my design for your life. This is my intention for the experience you're supposed to live in continually, individually, and then as families, communities, regions. It's how we were created to live, right? Mm-hmm. And then a little bit further, you go on and you say, living consumed by his love is the invitation. Living consumed by his love, living in this experience is the invitation right now. He wants us to not just know about this and that this is something historically people have tasted, but it's an invitation for right now, right? He's moving again powerfully. And what my heart for our conversation today is that you guys, this conversation would be catalytic, that you guys won't just go away and go, oh, I'm so inspired, but you'll go away wrecked, like literally wrecked, because this is now, his spirit's moving now in us in this way and wanting to take us deeper. Hey, Jen. So from the get-go, I wanted to bounce off there and say, will you pray for us? Because I know you experience this. You are passionate to see this become what we're all living, and you see it. I mean, because you've been in revival, you've studied revival, you're a revival historian. This is, you live and breathe it. And I know because I'm your friend, like you don't have an off button. Like this is you all the time. So let's just pray right now based on that invitation. And then we'll see where Holy Spirit takes us. That's okay. Will you pray for us, Jen?
Yeah. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you that you've drawn each and every person that's going to listen to this or watch this. You've divinely intersected us for such a time as this, in this Kairos moment. And so I pray that this would not just be another podcast or video, but this would be an encounter with you that sets people's hearts ablaze like they've never known before. Even if they've encountered you in the past, God, I pray that you would take us all deeper today, that something fresh would be ignited or reignited in this time. This would just be a moment where you baptize us afresh in the Father's love, in first love for Jesus, in the fire of your presence. God, I pray that you would consume us, Lord, that even now, Lord, as we're together, that your presence and your fire would increase, God, in our lives, over our bodies, over our minds, over our spirits, Lord, that there would be a fresh hunger stirred up, that there would be a call to greater consecration and holiness, to see your face, to abide in your presence, that there would be a drawing back to first love, to face to face, keeping our eyes fixed on you, that all the clutter would be cleared, that in this short time together, Lord, you would actually bring alignment with people back to face to face, back to the one thing, which is you, Jesus. So we welcome you to move however you want to move today. We're yielded vessels, pour out a fresh outpouring of oil in and through our lives so that we can burn for you and not burn out, but continue to increase that flame within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oof, wow. We agree. We agree. I just want to add this. I felt then, as you were praying, Jen, I felt that invitation and many of us beginning to reconsecrate our lives, beginning to just turn back in, like desiring this above everything, you know, particularly those of us that are Holy Spirit's already touching and moving in our hearts, and we know nothing else will cut it. Everything else doesn't satisfy. There is nothing that will satisfy our hearts truly and completely other than Jesus, because we were created for that, right? And I really felt it. So if that's you right now, it might be out of just sheer desperation because of the pressure in life, just reconsecrate, just rededicate and give your life back to him. Just hand him everything that you are, everything that's pertaining to your life. Just give him permission to come in and take possession of you, because that's what he's doing. That's what he's hungering to do with his bride, to take complete possession of each one of us in this hour. Those are those that will say yes and lay down and be willing to become conduits of our holy God to revive and transform the world around us and every person. That's what he's doing, and life will not be the same again. We just want to take this extra little few moments to just give you that space to do it. This is your moment right now. I don't want to rush past this moment as Jen's prayed and we're just with Holy Spirit here. This is real, right? This is real. He's with us. He's in us. He's speaking. He's drawing you. He's saying, just let go and give me all that you are all over again. Holy, the great unveiling, literally the great revealing of Christ through us is upon us, where revival, living completely consumed in the flame of the presence of God, the person of Christ enveloping us and filling us, is becoming our experience completely, so that the world will look upon the body and they'll see us. They'll see us and they'll see coming through us the Shining One, Holy, the Creator. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everyone being touched right now, every nation across the nations of the earth right now that are being touched in this moment. We agree. We agree. Wow. Really feel that, Jen, that this conversation right now, that prayer that you've just prayed, what's happening right now is setting alight all of your hearts again, setting ablaze. You, wow, each one of you that have hungered for more, it's happening right now. Holy, wow. You carry the glory, Jen. It's amazing when you pray, when you speak. It's just holy chaos. It's wonderful. It just explodes into that moment. Wow. Wow. What have you seen happen? The way that Holy Spirit's moving right now as revival is increasing and his presence is consuming. What have you seen? I want you guys to hear what the invitation takes us into.
Yeah, people are encountering the Holy Spirit and the fire of God like they've never experienced in their entire lives. And it's an awakening. It's a radical shift into their destiny. Literally, lives are transformed. People are, you know, wearing... I was this weekend, all the hundreds of people got saved in my region when, you know, there was this call and people are wearing Jesus shirts and they're wearing these things, but they've never had the invitation to say yes to Jesus, even though they've been in the flow of whatever. And there so many people are coming to the Lord, but so many people are also getting reignited to know the true and living God. And if I can just build on what we were in that momentum, that invitation to consecration is not a, let's just, you know, throw off everything. Let's just, you know, beat ourselves up. Let's do it on our own strength. No, it's the Hebrews 12. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we understand the cost and the price for the joy set before, which was me and you, when we have eyes on Jesus, it's easy to throw everything off. That Song of Songs 8:2 in the Passion, it says it won't even feel like a sacrifice because the burning fire has captured our hearts. And so it's not a, let's make ourselves good with good works and, you know, fast and pray and throw things off. It's let's be in love with Jesus. And when we're in love with Jesus, with our eyes fixed on him, those things just come off. The fire of God comes. So I think it's important to have first things first. And it's from that place of like, oh my gosh, God, you sent your only son. And Jesus, you said yes to live to die for me. I was a joy set before you. And when we really, you know Hebrews 12, 1-2, when we really understand Romans 8, that nothing will separate us from love, actually just those two chapters in the entire Bible, if we really believe those, it'll transform our lives and there will be a fire that's ignited within us that's not this one encounter and we're done, but it's like the two walking on the road to Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn within us? What does that look like for that to be a normal part of our lives, not just an encounter at a conference or something, but like a continual burning?
Yeah. Yeah. That is what he's doing, isn't it? We're all being brought to this place of Holy Spirit helping us to just fall in love with Jesus. And it's real and it's consuming. And it's like when those truths, when they ignite inside of us and the impact, the reality that this is all real, that his love is all consuming, that his love is what held the nails in place on the cross. It was, there is, like you said, there's just nothing that can separate us from his love anymore. When that happens, our hearts just become on fire, don't they? Yeah. That's, it's then we set him as a seal upon our hearts, you know, like it says in the Song of Solomon, it's that love experience. And then nothing else, there's nothing else. No, there's no way we can move into idolatry. Nothing else can clamor for our heart's attention in terms of what we will prioritize above Jesus, you know. And then, like you said, everything becomes effortless. Obedience is a natural overflow from a heart in love with Jesus, isn't it? It's not legalism and striving in our own strength to be good Christian people. It's just the fruit of a heart convinced of his love and now in love with him. So yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? Seeing how he's sweeping through the universities in America and just the way he's moving is Yeah. So thankful for the time that we're in the midst of the darkness. He's rising. He's rising, and his people are awakening. We're all awakening. It's just, yeah, different level, different depth in him. So when you've looked at other communities and you've studied revival history, are there things that you've seen that have been consistent that help us sustain the flame, using the title of your book, help us sustain this walk once we're ignited and we're, are there things that you look at and go, oh, that's actually consistent, that these are the ways of God?
And I'll back up one step. There is consistencies in revivals being birthed as well.
Oh, really? Oh, let's go there
Yeah,
first.
that's
Ooh.
exciting. And
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't learn that till I taught history of revivals at a college here, because I would teach, Azusa Street, I would teach Welsh Revival, I would teach these revivals. But then when I did a broad scope of teaching them all, including the 1857-58 Businessman's Revival, Prayer Revival in New York, I was like, wait, I thought that time is irrelevant. That is the sign of revival, when meetings can go at all hours. And then I realized the revival of 1857-58 is a 1 hour prayer meeting, and it's all contained within 1 hour, and God moved through that container. So I'm like, okay, that theory doesn't work. Time is not irrelevant. God can use different structures. He can move within structures. But then I realized every single container of revival, Welsh Revival, Azusa, the Businessmen's Revival, all had the same element. And that was freedom and space for the spontaneous moving of the Holy Spirit through the people of God. So there was space prepared, even in the 1 hour prayer meeting, where anyone could pray and God could move. And so that's a commonality in Welsh Revival and Azusa, where people created space. Welsh Revival, they said, we started the meeting, we turned the meeting over to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit had full reign. And all obviously there's spontaneous things. Things happen you can't control. But those are signs of moves of God, when there's space for the Holy Spirit to move. And obviously in the book, I highlight the Moravians, because I feel like they really stewarded a move of God. They had a Moravian Pentecost. They wanted unity. So they got together and they said, we're going to consecrate ourselves and we're going to choose to love each other. And God poured out his spirit with Pentecostal fire in unity. And they're like, okay, we have the fire. So what are we going to do now? We don't want to lose it. So a few weeks later, like, let's pray. Let's assign someone every hour of the day to pray. So they had about 24 people. They assigned each hour of the day to pray, and they wanted to steward the fire. And they didn't stop their work. They didn't go to a prayer room. They actually integrated prayer. They practiced the presence of God in their daily lives. And then that spread to lasted 100 years. That became, the 24/7, Protestant prayer movement was birthed there. And from that, the missions movement was birthed. John Wesley was catalyzed. We got to hang out in the Bristol rooms, and in England, we got to meet up. That's fruit from that. So they stewarded it in prayer, but in family. So I believe, family is the fireplace of revival. We need the community. We need the body of Christ to come together to steward that flame. When we have these encounters, when we go to a ministry school and have a year or two where God meets us, when we go back home, we have to find other burning ones, or else our fire can dim. And so I really feel like family is this part of the sustainer, but family around the fire of God's presence, finding other burning ones. And that, I think, is a key to sustaining a move of God.
Yeah, I think that's profound. And I love that when I was reading your book, Jen, about how you prioritize that. And we can look back in history and look at what the different component parts were that Holy Spirit put in place to birth the moves, to sustain the moves. But then what we've done well and what we haven't, and what we can learn from. And I think the fact you highlighted family and relationships and authentic relationships and developing the culture, a culture that's safe to bring as new believers get, as the Holy Spirit moves and new ones are coming into the kingdom. What does it look like to build a culture of family? I'm not just physical family, but kingdom family, our tribe that we're doing life with, like you said, around his presence. What does it look like? What should we be intentional about so that we're creating a safe place where people can be nurtured, accepted, loved unconditionally, learn how to develop their own relationship with Jesus and grow You know, so will you talk to us a little bit more about that? Because I just thought that was really important. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel fire even as you're talking. I was just talking to a pastor the other night about bringing a culture of family into their church, because we need a revolution in the church from programs and services to family, because it's God is our father. And what would a paradigm of the church look like if it wasn't like looking like church, but it was looking like kingdom, which is family? God is our father. That means we're brothers and sisters. Rather than even discipleship programs and all these things, what would it look like if, oh no, I'm your spiritual mother, or there's a spiritual father? That's what we have to prepare. I feel it. We have to raise up spiritual mothers and fathers, because God is going to bring in the billion soul harvest. It's already happening, and they need to come home to family. They don't need to come home to a program, to a system where they feel used. They need to perform for love. They need to come into a safe space of family around the fire of God. And so I feel like there needs to be a revolution in the church, a reprogramming, a shifting of paradigms to reframe it in family and in kingdom, where there's unity across churches, where people come home to relationships, out of relationships, right? John 15. Out of our relationship is fruitfulness, but I believe the keys of our destiny are found in intimacy with Jesus and interconnection with the body of Christ. When we do those two things well, we're naturally launched into a greater measure of our destiny without even trying. That's when the Ephesians 3:20 exceedingly abundantly happens. That synergy happens when we marry intimacy with Jesus in the secret place as priority and connecting with your tribe intimately and vulnerably. Things just naturally get birthed that you can't even plan beyond what you can imagine. I think those are two huge keys. And I would love to see the church go through a paradigm shift from programs to what does it look like relationally to build family.
Yeah, it's hugely important, isn't it? And for us to those of us that have never been in healthy families, to learn what that looks like. What does it mean to be a spiritual mother and a father? You know, this is a really seriously important conversation, isn't it, to have as the body of Christ? What's the difference between, I mean, really, rather than even asking that question, to me, all leadership should be parenting. You know, we are mothers and fathers in the body of Christ to be able to help those that are growing, flourish and fly and feel believed in and seen and known and heard, and to be able to carry the father's heart for his other children, you know, so that we are affirming and reflecting his heart to those around us. And just, can you imagine what the body of Christ would look like with just this adjustment, that we could just move there a little bit more comprehensively, that you say become less of an organization, perhaps. I mean, I know we need to have order and organization, but I think it doesn't necessarily do away with the organization. But it's about the heart, isn't it? It's about the heart of really expressing the mother and father heart of God to each other. So, yeah, and also to what does it look like to be healthy in terms of our value system? You know, what is the value system that we should live by to be able to sustain, host the presence of God and sustain a culture that enables the presence of God to just flow freely and revival to continue, right? So that we are helping, we're living, aren't we, then, a consecrated lifestyle with our tribe. We are set apart. We are prioritizing his presence. We are maintaining a lifestyle that enables us to remain full of oil, you know, so that we sustain the flame. Yeah, it's so, so important. So talk to us a little bit, Jen, about like when you've seen revival sustained, when you've looked at it in history, because obviously you've done a deep dive into this. I mean, this is your PhD plus your experience. What does a healthy culture look like in terms of the values, the ways they live?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think honor, there's the culture of honor.
Yeah.
Is really powerful. Humility.
Yeah.
Is powerful to sustain, I think, the glory. Even inner healing. You know, we're talking about healthy family. A lot of people aren't healthy spiritual mothers or fathers because they haven't been raised that way or they've had dysfunction. And so I think it's really important, especially as leaders, to invest in your own healing, because you release who you are. And so I think it's worth it to invest in that healing. But yeah, I think sustaining, you know, making sure there's the Holy Spirit is leading, you know, that you've given allegiance to the Holy Spirit. There's room for the Holy Spirit to move. They're in accountability, like in relationships that know them, especially for leaders, right? We see so many leaders are falling today because people put them on a pedestal and a platform and they don't, there's no safe people. I think we have to surround ourselves, right? King David had friends, he had seers, he had prophets, but he had people. We have to pray in those people, search those out, and actually have people in our lives that we can tell on ourselves with, that we can be vulnerable, that we can confess one to another, and we can live in the light so that the enemy can't take us out, that people that can call us higher. So I think community and accountability is also huge for that. Because the glory, you know, the glory is coming and it increases. And, you know, if you're not ready, it'll crush you. I want to be refined. I want to be purified. So when that glory comes, I just dive right in. But if you have any cracks in your life, if anything's not exposed, if anything's not dealt with, it'll just come out. And so you want to live in the fire. If you live in the fire, when it comes, it's not as painful. But if you hide things, that's when it's dangerous. So I think living in the light and with community that you welcome into those vulnerable places, that helps you be surrounded for those moments, I think.
Yeah, so brilliant. So important. I was very impacted when you spoke actually then of how important it is that we intentionally become safe hearts for each other, that we, I know within what we're doing with the International Mentoring Community, we're very intentional about building a culture of honor, safety, criticism-free zone, judgmental-free zone, safety, you know, so that, like you said, so that we can be courageous, we can be that vulnerable, because we know what we're sharing makes us safe and it's not going to be discussed. There's not, you know, we're speaking to people in confidence about the sacred things of our heart, the difficult struggles of our heart. We have to, he said, so that we're not hiding, but we're then free. We're free. It's all living in the light. There's transparency, there's safety, there's love, and we're not defined by it. You know, that's another thing, isn't it? The more, I think that there's such a grace at the moment from Holy Spirit to be able to see each other's value, to know our innate value and not define each other by our temporal, the way we're showing up in our temporary, you know, responses to our earth journey. But actually, we are royalty. We are children of God. We are the living image of God. We're the apple of his eye. And therefore, the more we know his heart, the more we're able to reflect that to each other and become safe and call each other forth into the full expression of who we actually are as supernatural people, not react horizontally to the temporary reactions that we're each having as we get bumped and bruised as we go along in life. Yeah, that's hugely important, Jen. I think I've spent a lot of time going into this subject with my team, but it's reminding me again of just how important this is, because we all want to be experiencing Holy Spirit, like flowing freely among us and doing what he does. And the other thing I was going to say to you was this, the surrendered life, you know, that's something that Jesus has been doing with me more and more and more. As you know, he's inviting me to make room for Holy Spirit every time I speak. And I know he does the same with you. It's just all he will say to me is, create a space for me and I will come. Yeah. Relinquish control, lean into me and let go. And as I'm doing that, I'm daring to do that, which can sometimes feel scary, right? Because you want everybody to hear a message that's comprehensive and going to help people. But actually, he's way better at being God and knowing exactly what words people need to hear, right? And what experience people need to have. And so I think that whole thing about letting Holy Spirit have the space to move, and if we will, as leaders, just facilitate that and host that and hold the space and allow him to be God in the midst of us, that's massive. It's a massive key, isn't it? Like you said, and he moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time we make space for him, he comes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Every time.
Yeah. It's where the miracles happen. And you look back, don't you, and go, why have I ever come with notes? My beautifully prepared sermon. When he wants to crash in and be God.
Wow. It's part of the process, though, isn't it? You have to get to that place and then allow him to move you off the page.
Yeah. So in the midst of all the, there's such a lot of noise right now, isn't there? So many voices in the body of Christ, so many voices in the news media and what's going on in the world. And there are a lot of difficulties. In the midst of it all, what are you hearing from the Lord, Jen? Just to, so that people can hear divine perspective again. When he's talking to you, yes, this time's a series that we're in, but what's he showing you?
I believe with everything in my heart, we're in a Kairos moment, and it's a moment of acceleration. It's a moment of destiny. We're born for such a time as this. No other generation has been entrusted with the lockdown, post the lockdown, the political, the wars. He's entrusted this generation to bring light in places of darkness. Isaiah 60, Isaiah 61, arise. So your light has come. The darkness is going to cover the earth, but the light rises upon you. And so I feel like we've been given an incredible privilege and opportunity to bring the kingdom. And so I feel like this is the best time to be alive. In times of great darkness, times of great glory. And so he's given us the keys to radiate his love into a dark world. The hunger is out. People are so hungry for Jesus right now. I mean, it's potent, it's pregnant, you know? And so I'm just grateful that the Lord has entrusted us. And I feel full of hope. If you're alive, you're watching, listening to this right now, God has you here for a reason. You know, and he is everything. He is our source. He is our resource. He is our hope. He is our healer. And we have the good news. If we have Jesus, we don't need to have anything else. If we have Jesus, we have everything. So I think this is the best time to be alive. And I know that as we worship the Lord, as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and we just lean in and we make room for the Holy Spirit and welcome, that's when things happen. We don't need to get distracted diving into other threads and swirls. We need to just worship the Lord, because when the Moravians worshiped Jesus when they're about to die in a boat, it catalyzed a revival, a reformer named John Wesley, who started a move of God. So we need to fix our faces on Jesus and worship even more fiercely in these times. And that's when things change and shift.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So brilliant, Jen. Amen. I witness to every single thing you just said. My spirit's going, yes, that's divine perspective, right? He's a God of hope, and he's real, and he's inside of all of us. And I think the scripture that you quoted then, arise and shine. Literally, the Lord is about to envelop the nations of the earth. The glory of God is going to cover the nations of the earth as the waters cover the seas, as we lean in and let go, and he radiates out of his body, right? He becomes very present across the face of the earth into every life that we touch. Yeah, it's an amazing time to be alive, isn't it? It's super important that we remain in agreement with his perspective right now. Remain connected to the reality that we are seated with him in heavenly places, and look at the earth from above and from within his heart and every person, so that we remain steady and strong and secure in the buffeting. But yeah, so that we can release the light. And I love it. I love it. Live a life of worship. Yeah. Look at the fruit of the Moravians. Look at the fruit of John Wesley. Changed the world. Literally. Look at the fruit of the revivals, because it's God, isn't it? He's producing the fruit through his laid down bride. Wow. Amazing. Oh my gosh. Amen. Jen, thank you so much. You're just amazing. Thank you for giving us your time today. I love being with you.
Oh, same. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much, Liz.
Oh, and guys, have the most incredible week. We pray that we are in agreement that you will go deeper in your experience with Jesus than you thought was even possible. And just, explode with his presence. Have the most amazing week. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless. 2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me, and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live, and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.